Blog Talk Radio.
well, well. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will. You know, I just gotta give the Lord all the praise. I've got to give him everything that he is deserving of. So as the word of God says, when we enter into his gates, we give him thanksgiving. When we enter into his courts, we've got to praise him. So I don't know about you. Somebody wrote some lyrics to a song, and they said, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. You know, whether it was lyrics to a song or whether it was someone's testimony, it really doesn't matter. And I'll tell you later on why I say it doesn't matter if it was lyrics to a song or if it was something that someone had said or whatever they've done, because people are something else. That's all I'm going to say. People are something else. And what I saw on Facebook just gave me a reminder of how God can use anybody and anything, including a donkey. Minister Sheila, will you pray for us? I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, thank you, and good morning to each and every one. I just want to thank God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, our Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, for blessing us for another day. But I give honor to you, to the Father of us all, and to the Son that you have blessed to die for our sins, that we might have life, to have a choice to live and to obey and to honor the life that you have blessed us with. But I give honor for blessing us with another day, because without you, we would not be here. And we all need to praise and to thank you and to honor you for giving us life. I give honor to bless us with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Ministers Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Sabrina Wright, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Missionary Linda Handy. And Lord, I give praise to all that you have blessed with today, because if it wasn't for you, we would not have life. Excuse me. I want to thank you for my sons, my daughters, my sisters, my brothers, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my nieces, my nephews, and bless us for the new additions that we have, that you have given us this year. New blessing of some twins from Mr. Brandon, Minister Brandon Kaiser and his wife. Lord, I thank you for bringing them into this world healthy and with all your might and love. Lord, I thank you. I ask you to bless this government, to raise them up, to let them know that they are here for all the people, not the sons of the people, to stop the hatreds and the ugliness that they're throwing on into the United States that you are elected officials of the people. You are here for the people, not only for your people, for all people. And to bless this law enforcement, to let them know you are here to serve us all, no matter what our color is, our sex, our creed, our religion, or whatever. We are all human beings. We are all brothers and sisters in the eyes of our Father God. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for waking us up, because I know if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. Lord, I thank you for bringing us to this last month of this year, to bring us through this epidemic that's going on, to bring us through this financial things we're going on, that to bring us through, to bless us with our family, and to help us to understand that you are the light. You can bring us through. We just need to pray and to give it all to you, and bless the families of the ones that have been lost to this virus that's going on, into economics, that they have the way and the right to help us survive, but yet they're being hateful about it, and acting and honoring and fighting amongst which peoples of this world, of this United States, is suffering. Lord, we need you to bless them, to let them know we are people. We are human beings. We are not just anything that they choose to call us, but Lord, we need your help and ask you to bless us and make us through whatever we're going through, financial sick, illness, things on our jobs, our families, within us, or our neighbors, whatever it is, our problem, that we can turn it over to you, Lord, and you will show us and help us go through it. But, Lord, most of all, I thank you, and I thank you for waking us up for another day. And I need us to know that without you, we would not be. And no matter what it is, God can show you through it, bring you through it, and your life can see the light, and to bless us all and to let us know we are his sons and daughters, and to leave the devil and the hatred and the honor and the ugliness behind us, and let's face forward and follow the Father and the Son forever in our days that I live. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I can only thank you till now, but Lord, I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. So first I want to start off with the four things that we talked about on last week are the major concepts, which was accepting what God allows, and for us knowing that we must have God in every area of our lives, and us allowing people to be human because people are flawed, and about us teaching people how to handle us through grace and mercy and through grace and the wisdom of God. Well, on today, I want to tell you I was tested this week on, do I really accept what people allow? Do I really accept the fact that I have to allow people to be human, even those that are self-righteous? Do I really teach people how to handle me? Do I really keep God first in my life? Well, these two young men, older men or whatever they were, don't know their race or any of that stuff. Don't know too much about them other than they're supposedly associates of mine on Facebook. Well, they try to say that because of my beliefs, I was going to hell. They try to say because I wasn't a Republican or independent or whatever they are, that I was going to hell. And I tried to explain to them that me nor God base my religious beliefs on a Democratic Party, and that I would not allow them to make my confession based on a Democratic Party. And so then they went on and said that because they didn't know who I voted for, but they act like they knew who I voted for. They said because I voted for someone that believed in abortion that I was going to hell. Well, one of the things that I realized is that it didn't matter who you voted for, that they had something wrong with them or they believed something was wrong with it. So whether it was a person that believed in abortion or a person that believed in capital punishment or a person that believed we should be slaves because of our color or people that supported police brutality, I mean, I could find something wrong with every candidate that ran for office. And so because of that, I learned to pray in order to make a choice, because too many people have died for my right to vote, for your right to vote. Too many people have marched. Too many people were mistreated for sitting on certain parts of the bus. Emmett Till was lied on and killed just because of white supremacy and things of that sort. So whether a person was a Klansman or whether a person was a person that believed in Muhammad or whatever, you know, you can always find things wrong with people. So you have to learn how to give people to God, to actually really give them to God and trust God that he will transform them the same way he did us. So do we change people, or does God change them and transform them? Well, because I know that I don't, but God's word does, I realize that I have to stop being oblivious to allowing people to be human. Oblivious means not aware, not concerned about what's happening around you, or not conscious about something, or not recognizing something, or being distracted by something, or something going unnoticed. Well, a lot of people try to say this or that about the president-elect and also about the president, about what their beliefs are and what's going to send you to hell and what's not going to send you to hell. But this is one thing that I do know. If I voted for the wrong person, I did not hear from God. But if I voted for the person that God told me to vote for, that means I had to make a decision to pick the best of the two or three evils. And so people will say, well, how can you do that? You do that when you pick the school you're going to go to. You do that when you pick the job you're going to take. You really do that. And I've never been married. I know most of you on the line are married or have been married before. You picked the best person for you. You could have picked other people, but you picked that person, or you allow that person to pick you, and you said yes, however you want to say it. But the point that I'm making is everything we do in life is not a perfect decision, with the exception of choosing Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The Word of God tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. Now, some of those things that's added is joy, is peace, is right understanding, it's finances. It's those things that God needs for us to have. We had Prophet Anton talking to us about the various things that we needed to do in order to allow the Word to be first in our lives. And we know that the Word is Jesus made flesh. We also know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 teaches us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I want to point out how it says, then I will hear from heaven. Because I pray and I believe that my aunts and my uncles and my mom and the people in my life, Apostle Sandra Thomas, Mother Seabury, and my aunt Sweetie, and all of the people that were around me that prayed, I believe that they taught me how to pray and how to decrease so that God could increase, and that I heard from God, and that's what I based my selection and voting on. That's what I based my selection and where I would work on. That's what I based my selection, or where I would even work. Not just what I would work on, but where I would work. And that I was able to base my selection, even on the people that I have around me as so-called friends and associates, that I based it on the fact that I felt that I heard from God. So then if I go on further and I listen to and read the Word of God in Matthew 6:9-14, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when the sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So even in this, it says his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So therefore, I would have to hear his will so that I can allow it to be done through me on this earth. And I would also have to believe, God, that he's delivered me from the evil one. And therefore, I'm hearing from God. So when I look at these verses and I look at how the word of God even reminded me after he had already told me in Matthew 33 that I was to seek the kingdom first. In verse 34, he came back and said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So when I read the word of God and when I submit to the word of God, then I have to know that I believe that I am a divine partaker of God's word and what he wants me to do. But if I think I have to be perfect, then I forget what Prophet Anton even taught us on this past Friday, that faith, my faith in God is my GPS, that my faith and God is my GPS. It'll lead me. It'll navigate me. It'll give me instructions on what to do and how to do it and what to say. And if my faith in God is my GPS, then that means that God himself is my GPS. And one of the things that you know about GPS is you have to follow the directions. So whether you can hear the directions or just see the directions, you have to follow those directions. Some people learn differently. Some people learn from hearing. Some people learn from doing. Some people learn from stuff that's written. They have the various things that, of how they learn. And so we have an expert on that on the line, and that's Minister Margo. She's a teacher. She's a person that's been taught and educated on how to teach people. And that's what I love about God. He will give you people and link you up with people that will show you how to hear from God, how to follow God. And so when you're teaching your students how to do their math and you're teaching them how to read and you're teaching them the various things, you're teaching them based on how they learn and based on what's best for them. And so if someone decides that you're not doing things the way that they want you to do it, you're not voting for who they want you to vote for, maybe they need to realize that they're not your GPS, that they're not your guide. Matter of fact, they're not your God. And so, therefore, I love one of the things that I've been taught all of my life. We have to learn to agree to disagree. And when we learn to agree to disagree, we realize that we don't operate in witchcraft, and we don't operate in manipulation, but we allow people to be human. But at the same time, we teach them how to handle us. So when these particular men told me I was going to go to hell for being a Democrat or whatever they were just assuming about me, and when I said to one of them that I was praying for him and that I was going to give him over to God, I was tested, because after that he came back and he said, you know, very vicious and strong things towards me and to me. And for the first time, I did not want to respond back, because I had already said I handed him over to God and that I would let God deal with him and me. See, I didn't act like I was perfect, and what I had said to him was the end. I let him know that if I was wrong, God's going to deal with me, and that I submit to God perfecting me, and that I was also handing him over to God for God to deal with him. But see, that was a place of humility and wisdom that God had to teach me, because sometimes we think that having the last word is what it's all about. But to say that I hand this situation and you and I over to God to handle means that I gave God full control, because he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. In order for me to humble myself and pray, that means that I have to allow God to perfect his people, to perfect the self-righteous. I at no time told this man he was going to hell. I at no time judged this man according to his end state. But what I did through the wisdom of God is I kept referring him back to the agape love of God. I kept referring him back to God leading us and directing us. And he was telling me that I wasn't walking in forgiveness. He was telling me all of this stuff of judgment and how he was a person that pulls people out of hell. And I thought to myself, if you pull people out of hell, then that means that you have to be responsible for keeping them out of hell. But if you allow God and his word to use you, you will respond in love. And when you respond in love, it does not mean you will send that person to hell. It does not mean you'll curse them. It doesn't mean you'll call them all manner of mean things. But, you know, a lot of people have turned away from God because we as leaders, teachers, preachers, bishops, prophets, apostles, pastors, ministers, have sent these people to hell in what we say. We've been so mean to people until they think that's God. Even when Jesus corrected the people and he turned over the tables in the church, he did call demons by their name. But he also made sure that even when they caught the woman in adultery and they were calling her all manner of names, he talked about the situation, not the lady, but he talked about the situation. And he said, he that is without sin, throw the first stone. We as people of God have to stop throwing the stones. Why are we so quick to throw the stones at people? Why are we so quick to tell people where they're going? Now, when I stand before God, I don't want to be accused of being so unforgiving. I don't want to be accused of being so mean. I want God to say, you have served me well, enter in. Even if he just says, enter in, I'm good with that. But where is the love? I remember when Pastor Levine, an apostle, was talking, and she allowed God to use her, and everybody didn't understand. They thought she was being disrespectful. But Pastor Levine said to Apostle, she says, Apostle, I hear what you're saying, but where is the love? She says, where is the love in what you just said? Because Apostle was correcting her on something. She was really correcting all of them. And Apostle went to God, and God told her that was him speaking to her. And it blessed me. She came back to us, and she even thanked Pastor Levine. And she said she had to answer to God and say, God, she's right. Where was the love in my correction? If I was hearing from you, where was the love in my correction? And she blessed us because she said, God let her know, you hated the demon so bad that you were coming after the demon and the demonic behavior, but when you did it, you didn't do it in love. And it came out as an attack on my people. So when this man was attacking me, all I could do was talk to him about the love of God, because I realized he was coming after the support of killing unborn children. He was coming against abortion. And I'm okay with him coming against whatever God tells him to come against. But where is the love? I'm not saying that I've been perfect. Every commandment that God has, I've broken. I could demonstrate it and I can tell you how. But I know through the love of God that he has allowed me to not only forgive people that have done things towards me, but to say to my family, I called out the two people's name and I said, I need for you all to pray for these two men. And I meant it from my heart and I still mean it. Because if they saw something that was not Christ-like and they were coming after it, there's a right way to come after the things that are not of God. And because you bring someone tough love does not mean that you bring them love that's without love. If I say to you, Minister Sylvia, Minister Margo, Minister Sheila, Prophet Anton, Dr. Serena Wright, Pastor Jones, Overseer Marshall, Pastor Troy, can you please have a seat? Versus, can you sit down? Sit your butt down. No. The second way was rude. It was not done in love. And it definitely wasn't done in a manner that respected those people for who they are in God. We have to be very careful that what we say and what we do is of God. I was counseling a person on this week, and God had told me to wait to counsel her because she was angry and she was frustrated. And for those of you who have not worked for me before, you know that I am a forgiving supervisor, but as my mother would say, if you run out, if you go too far, I will use the tools that they have given me to correct you, which are different than the tools that I will use in the Lord to correct the people that I work in ministry with. And so because I didn't want to have to give her a caution letter or the various disciplines that go with insubordination or the various tools that I've been given to even suspend someone or whatever, I knew out of her frustration that she, although is a great, phenomenal worker, that she may have done or said something that would cause me to have to discipline her in the way that I would need to discipline her. And it wouldn't have been her first time or her second time, just to clear the air. And so the wisdom of God told me to wait. So I waited a week, and then I met with her. She was still frustrated. But the wisdom of God told me to explain some things to her on how corrections are done in the government, how you tell a person, and then you train them on how to do it correctly. Then you make sure that they responded to that training and they can do whatever. And then after you've put these things in place and you've given that person the time to recover, because remember even Dr. Wright talked about the recovery and the relationships with people. And so in order to revive this relationship that I have with this employee, I explained to her all of the different things. And then I said to her, lastly, I can't wait to see you in charge. I can't wait to see you as a supervisor yielding and using the tools that we've been given to correct someone. And then I saw her frustration ease. And she apologized. And she said, I apologize. I was so frustrated and I was so mad. And I wanted you to do things my way. Hear what she said. She said, I wanted you to do things my way. And I explained to her that her and I were no longer in the military. And we couldn't use the judicial things that we were given as far as court-martial proceedings and the way we could do stuff in the government, that civilians don't have that those type of rules that allow you to be so stern. And really some of the stuff in the military is pretty barbaric to me, the things that you can do to people. And so she said she was learning. And it blessed me because I was able to use the wisdom of God and the agape love of God to minister to this person that works for me who was operating off of witchcraft and manipulation and wanting to have her way. And her frustration that she was having was what she wanted me to do to someone else. And see, that's always a problem for me. I don't understand how we can be so self-righteous about what other people should be doing and how they should be doing things when we ourselves are missing the mark because we're not perfect. So although you may not have had an abortion, although you may not have had a divorce, although you may not have murdered someone, although you may not have lied or stealed or stolen something, you've done something wrong, whether it was envy, jealousy, covetousness. You've done something wrong, whether it was witchcraft, whether it was manipulation, whether it was withholding things from your spouse or loved one, when the Word of God tells us that even if we're going to fast, that we're to talk to our loved one, and that's a whole nother story about it. And so none of us have been perfect, but we will send someone sometime to hell for doing that thing that we do right. So when we look at the mirror, and in the mirror, a matter of fact, they have this thing now when you look in the mirror, you don't see yourself. It's a new thing, but it's not a true mirror. It's a thing where there's a person in the mirror and they're doing this exercise with you, and that's who you see. I'm not talking about that mirror. I'm talking about the mirror when you look in there and you see the true you, the real you. When you say, God, let me see me. Let me look in the spiritual mirror and see the things that you have helped me to learn how to do well. Those things that I once failed in, but now you've helped me, God, so that I succeed. I love that God can show us where we came from. Because sometimes we'll take credit for ourselves. For when that man said that he pulls people out of hell, that's not something that God would teach me to say. So I would say God used me to pull people out of hell through his word. Because as Prophet Anson said, I allow the word to go first. The God is my GPS. So as I'm allowing God to use me, it's really God that's pulling these people out. But see, we can get so haughty about God using us until we say, I did this, I did that. Isn't that what he said? That people are going to come before him and say, God, I did this for you, I did that for you. I think that in itself is a problem. Why would I have the audacity to go before God telling him what I've done for him? He knows what I've done for him because he knows that he used me to do it. So if anything, why wouldn't I go before God saying, God, I thank you for using me to do this or that. And God, if I did not do it correctly, forgive me. But see, to be humble versus being vain isn't what we're taught. Don't you see people on Facebook and different things always saying, I'm just saying? Why are we just saying? Why isn't God speaking through us? And we could say, the Lord said, God is good. Not saying that we're trying to be so walking a face, type of fake humility, but it's a place of wisdom. It's a place of meekness. Because even Jesus became meek for us. He prayed to the Father. He let the Father announce who he was. This is my Son, and whom I'm well pleased. That's what God said. He didn't say, I know God is pleased with me. My Father pleased. No. There are excellent men and women of God that minister on the various programs that we have, and I thank God for each and every one of you, for your humility, for the wisdom that you allow God to speak through you, for being walking, living testimonies read of men, for not being that person that comes on the air giving yourself all these titles and accolades. I thank God for you. You're an example to me. I need people to be an example because I myself have to look in the mirror and see the flaws and the perfecting that God is working on in and through me. And I say to God, God, you are the potter and I am the clay. And he makes me and he molds me. And I love him because he's making and molding me to be restored to that place to where he said that they were going to create humankind in their likeness. I want to be like God. Not in a sense that I'm perfect and God himself, but he said he wanted me to be in his likeness. I want to be that person. The word said that we're to be Christ-like. I want to be that person. I want to be a person that can give God an excellent praise. I'm not there yet. I want to be that person that can pray effectually, fervently, all the time, without ceasing. I'm not there yet. I want to be that person that when I declare and decree a thing, it is so because I'm declaring it and decreeing it in the unctioning of God and his Holy Spirit. I'm not there yet, but he's perfecting my prayers. He's perfecting my praise. Because, see, I get, like the young lady that works for me, I still get frustrated sometimes. I was watching a movie where a young man had a past life that wasn't too great, but then he started wanting to do things better. And people kept reminding him of the things that he used to do. Well, that's what people do. We ought to praise God every time they remind us about what we used to do. That means he's a strong deliverer. Because if God can deliver me, he can deliver anybody. Many of us say you reap what you sow. And we know that's what the word says. But you know what I'm grateful for? Is that God looks at those things that I've reaped, and when I've repented for those things that I've sown and all of those things, he takes that stuff and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. And that because of the blood of Jesus, my God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, those things that I should get, he hasn't held me to. So if you haven't heard anything else on today, I pray that you heard that we have to tell people how to handle us. And in those, some of those cases, it's going to be us simply saying, I'm giving you and me over to God. We have to make sure we keep God first in our lives, that even when people say all manner of wickedness towards you, you still say, I'm handing you over to God. Even when they call you all manner of names, you remember that they're human and that they're flawed, just like you. And after all is said and done, you accept what God allows. Because if God allowed it, that means he's allowing that test for your testimony. He's allowing that mess for your message. But one thing's for certain. As we trust God, he'll teach you, as Apostle Sandra Thomas used to always say, to love the Hades out of people. Minister Sheila, that's all I have.
Thank you, Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Clyde. I just want to thank you for the words of encouragement, the testimony, and for let us all know that God is the way of life. He is the head of my life. And I thank him for what all he brought me through, which I can say, if we think about our past, and all I can say, Lord, I thank you. Because what I remember that I did, I thank you that I am still here, because I know without you I would not have made it. I just want to say to each and every one of you that's on the lines are open. If you have any words of encouragement, testimonies, or just something to say, your time is now.
Good morning. Hello, can anyone hear me? Hello, can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Minister Sylvia. I'm at work, and I'm going to take this quick second. I thank God for the lesson on the day, and all I can say is, I'm yours, Lord. All that I am, all that I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. That's all I can say. Thank you, Apostle, for the word on today.
Thank you, Mission Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. Thank you for your words and your song and the blessing that the Lord have done for you. Is there anyone else? The lines is open.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Saints. This is Minister Margaret. I'd just like to thank God for another Sunday. He's brought us to another Sunday. We have much to be thankful for. God has continued to keep us, and we shall rejoice in this day. We will find the joy that God has in this day for us. I'd just like to thank I'd like to thank Apostle for this word. I was reading this week about the love that God has for us and the love that he wants us to have for others. And the only way we can do that is to immerse ourselves in his love, because our nature is not to forgive. Our nature is not to respond in love. Our nature is one of defiance. And so we asked him to continue to change our nature, to continue to reflect him. We want to reflect our Father. And that's what he wants us to learn more about him, to image him in our lives, and to love the way he loves us. That's a tall order. But we can do it because he said we can love because he loved us first. Thank you so much for sharing with us and for being faithful to your assignment. And I ask you guys to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. God bless.
Thank you, Minister Marvel McCoy. Thank you for your words of encouragement. And thank you for all of us that God has blessed us and to bless us with life until now. And I thank him, and I thank him, and I pray for each and every one of us. But I know God is real. I know God is real, because through my life transactions, I have been through so much that the devil tried to take me, but God said, no, not yet, my daughter. And I say, thank you. I am your faithful servant. Oh, God, I thank you, because I know each and every day I wake up, I didn't have to. But, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And the lines are open. Is there anyone else? We want to give honor to the Father, our Father, for blessing. And I ask him to bless all of us, each human life, each thing or life that he has given to, anything that's breathing, whatever it is, to bless us all and to bring us through whatever we're going through, through this virus, through this corrupt government, this law enforcement, Lord, to help us see and to feel the way of your victory and your love, to let us know that you are the way of life, and no matter what we're going through, we need to give it to you and turn it over to you and to pray it on to you and to let us know that you will answer us in the right way. It might not be the way you think it should be, but God got the right way, the right direction, the right way to you to see, to go through your life. You might not get everything you want, but that's not meaning it's not what you want. It's what God has for you that is best. Because everything you want might not be good for you. Just ask God to give you every blessed thing that it is. And once you realize that God has you, he will always have you. But you have to have him. You need to trust, believe, and pray and honor God. Because God is the answer. No matter what the devil tell you that he can make for you, in the end, it will be so ugly because he has brought you to his devil's pit, to his damnation, and to the darkness when God had you in the light. Just remember, God is the way and the only way. You are only here today because of him, not because of the alarm, your wife, your husband, your children, the noise. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have heard, felt, seen, or heard none of that. I give honor to God and to all that have said. And I'm going to ask if you can tune to us each and every Sunday morning for Let's Talk with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Central Time. And on Monday night, set his blog talk and also Facebook with Iron Sharpened Iron with Minister Cecilia Kaiser Wright at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Minister Cecilia Kaiser Wright, and also on the Friday nights, the Let's Talk at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Minister Cecilia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas. And tomorrow night, our Monday night, speaker will be the wonderful, magnificent teacher that it is, Mr. Troy Pastor Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, a man of good wisdom, knowledge, and teaching, will be your speaker tomorrow, Monday night. And we all need to say, God, we thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And like I say, you could never thank him enough for the wonders that he has. And no matter what it is, he can show you the way. You just have to pray and put it in God's hand, and he has the answer, the right answer, the answer that you couldn't have enough to have him say thank you. Just give it to God and wait on him, and he will bless you forever. And I just want you to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And I just want to say excuse you for any background noise that you have, but I am at work, but I refuse to leave this Sunday morning service to thank God and to praise him and to let him know you are my life, and I thank you for my life. Amen, amen, and goodbye. Have a blessed Sunday.